Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, the week is almost over. Put a smile on your face. And here's what we have in store for you tonight. Somebody's bringing up Yuri Bezmenov again. We will talk about that and what happened in our country. Joe Biden's new presidential ad, unlike anything any presidential ad has ever done. I will describe that. Well, we'll play it for you. We'll talk about that tonight. The January 6th stuff, a bunch of illegal immigration thought. I had a really bad thought. I had some wonderful thoughts. Somebody wants to know about a little history from my very European trip. All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Couple items I want to do right off the bat that are a little bit heavier, but I feel like it's necessary. Yes, I'm aware of the shooting in the Iowa school today, as you are aware if you listen to this show. But maybe, I know we have a bunch of new listeners. The show is growing like wildfire. I just can't believe it. But so let me explain something. If you're into mass shooting radio, you know, where they get on there and they rant and rave, guns and gun laws and Democrats and Republicans and all those other things, this is not the show for you. We do not do mass shooting radio here. I don't do mass shooting TV on my TV show. I do not do it. It goes against every ounce of my belief system. Today, families, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, teachers, students, grandparents, they're getting the worst news you could ever get in your life, ever. It's the worst day of their lives. If any one of these people is one day diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor, it would not equal the pain and suffering and misery they're going through today. Hey, your daughter's never coming home again. Your son's never coming home again. We don't politic off that here. We pray. These people need your prayer now, not an hour from now. Look, turn off the radio if you need a minute. Shoot, take 3 hours. It's more important than this show by a mile. They need prayer. Bow your head. Say a prayer for these people. They need it. All right? They need it. That's one. Two. Now, I'm about to tell you something fairly personal. Not totally personal, but fairly personal. And I want to be clear about something. I want your emails, but I want them to be your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow, because tomorrow is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So I do want your emails. Ask me anything. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. But what I don't want you to do, and I don't want you to feel any obligation, is what I'm trying to say, is to reach out to me and tell me how sorry you are or anything like that. So what I'm about to tell you is not about me, and I'm fine. It's not about me. A guy I knew a little bit. This is not a close friend, so this is not about me. But a Marine I knew. A Marine from, well, he was in Iraq with me. I'll just put it to you that way. A Marine I knew just took his own life. This is not unique to me. And very sadly, it's not unique to me and it's not unique to this guy. I am not God. I don't have all the answers. But I will just tell you this. Everybody, veterans and non-veterans, it doesn't matter. I understand America is sad right now. I see the suicide numbers, the depression numbers. We are a sad country. There are a million and one reasons for that, I know. And I'm not here to solve that or cure it. I am here to tell you, especially my veteran brothers, but this applies to anybody. God is not done with you yet on this planet. Do not check out before it is your time. Reach out. Do not check out. Reach out. There's a suicide hotline that is available right now, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Again, I know you're not supposed to say this. Turn off the friggin' radio and call if you're in this place mentally. You take care of you. The radio show will be here tomorrow. You are valuable. Nobody knows. No, it doesn't matter what people know or what the people around you think. You're valuable. You have a place. You're not done yet. The mission is not over. Keep going. Call 988, you veterans, 988. Just pick up your phone. Dial 988 and press send. Press option 1 for you veterans. But 988 works for everybody. Anyone, men, women, children, anyone hearing the sound of my voice right now thinking, my life doesn't matter, I'm a burden, it's over, there's nothing left to live for, it's whatever. Those are lies from the pit of hell. Keep going. Just get to tomorrow. I'm not even telling you to live another 100 years. I'm not. Lord knows I won't. I'm just telling you, give it another day. And you never know what tomorrow might bring. And then give it another day after that. But reach out, please. All right? All right, I'm done with that. We're moving on. There are other things I wanted to talk about, many other things I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about Bob Menendez tonight. You know, I might just open up with this because it was just a little bit heavy. It's New Jersey. I would say that New Jersey gets a bad rap, but I don't know that that's totally fair. I think probably New Jersey gets a fair rap. I personally love New Jersey. I've had so much fun in New Jersey, but I think a lot of that is because Northeastern people, New York, New Jersey, Boston, they're rude. I'm rude. And so that's probably why I've always gotten along with those people so well. And I'm white trash, so when I walk into a dirty New Jersey town and I get a slice of pizza the size of your face and I get yelled at behind the counter because I didn't order fast enough, it puts a smile on my face. I love that. I love that. But New Jersey has a thing. Their politicians are dirty. All of them. And I know politicians are dirty in many states. Louisiana is famous for this. Lord knows New York. Every politician in the history of Chicago, I'm convinced, is currently serving a prison term of some kind. You walk right out of office and right into state prison when you're in Chicago. But New Jersey is just a little unique. And I'm certainly not defending the criminality of Bob Menendez because now he's accused of taking bribes from Qatar. And I know you're supposed to call it Qatar, but I like to say Qatar because it sounds much more exotic and Middle Eastern, doesn't it, Michael? It's producer Michael in the house today. Jewish producer Chris is out for reasons that I'm not allowed to discuss, or I haven't been given permission to discuss just yet. It's all good reasons, don't worry, but Jewish producer Chris is out. Anyway, Bob Menendez, he apparently was being bribed by, well, everybody. Everyone on the planet, every country, every entity, they're all slipping Bob Menendez for some gold bars so he can hand him some of your taxpayer money. And I know that's horrible. I'm not trying to make light of it. I know it's horrible. I know it's despicable. I know it's disgusting. I know all these things. I know. So don't email me and lecture me. Jesse, it's wrong. I know it's wrong. Kids, don't take bribes. But isn't that just New Jersey? Look, you can call me a cynic. You can call me a bad person. All those things are probably fair. I would be disappointed if at least one major politician in New Jersey wasn't on the take. That's really what you do in New Jersey. In New Jersey, you go down, you talk to the local crime family, you make sure you get all the bribes you need, then you fly overseas, you walk into North Korea, and they give you a suitcase full of cash, and then you hand out, that's just what you do. And then you already lawyer up, because you know at some point in time, you'll be busted, and you'll have to do a prison term, and that's just kind of New Jersey. I like it. All right, speaking of New York, I'm going to do this real quickly, because we're going to do a little bit of a history, current events thing here in a moment. But I want you to know the illegal immigration thing is going to stay a big thing. Eric Adams says illegal immigrants are contributing to the, quote, robbery pattern. Well, yeah, obviously. He also came out with this.
New York City has and will continue to do our part to manage this humanitarian crisis. But we cannot bear the cost of reckless political ploys from the state of Texas alone. Today, our administration filed a lawsuit against 17 companies that have taken part in Texas Governor Greg Abbott's scheme to transport tens of thousands of migrants to New York City in an attempt to overwhelm our social services system. These companies have violated state law by not paying the cost of caring for these migrants. And that's why we are suing to recoup approximately $700 million already spent to care for migrants bused here in the last 2 years by the state of Texas.
You know what cracks me up about these Democrat mayors? It's not just Eric Adams, it's Brandon Johnson, it's all of them. When it comes to them and illegal immigration, you know what kills me? I'll tell you in a moment, because there's something else that kills me. What kills me is knowing how much of the evil we have in our society I have funded, you have funded. Most of it we can't do anything about. When they take your taxpayer money from you, they take it from you at the point of a gun. You understand what the stakes are if you don't pay your taxes. You're going to the clink, and if you don't go to the clink, they'll shoot you. So set that money aside. But the money we spend, the money we choose to spend, how much of it goes to really, really evil companies? You know Verizon is a really evil company, right? AT&T, T-Mobile, these are really gross companies that hate you. Pure Talk, they love you. It's not that they're not ashamed of you. They love you. Their CEO's a veteran. You want to save a fortune? Same great coverage? Keep your phone? Keep your number?
I have to tell you,
pick up your phone.
Producer Michael dial #250
a little mini
and
say
Jesse.
I was about to tell a different you a ton story. More.
You played Johnny Cash coming back in, Michael, right?
Say Jesse.
And I was going to do a little kind of a brief history thing. Here was the email I got. Jesse, what history stuff did you do while you were getting cultured in Europe? For the love of God, please tell us already. Says I can say her name is Rachel. Well, Rachel, I'll try to put it in ways that you Americans can understand, all right? Because it's me, European Jesse, now. But before I get to my history story, I actually have a funny one. We got stuck in a city in Germany. And when I say stuck, the weather was horrible. I need to explain. The weather was absolutely horrible. The wind was blowing. It was rainy. It was freezing. And in order to get back to our group, we never stayed with the group. I know you're going to find this shocking. We just wanted to do our own stuff. We wanted to go do history stuff and eat and do whatnot. So we just left, and we found ourselves in a foreign country, miles away. Me, wife, kids, foreign country, miles away from where we're supposed to be. And some kind of horrible incident happened. I believe it was a medical incident where every emergency vehicle piled up. And when they were doing that, you know, the European police cop car sounds like you see in the movies. I absolutely put my hat down a little bit over my head and acted like I was a spy. Yes, I did, Michael. Yeah, that's how you practice for covert ops. Anyway, so the vehicles are driving by, and I, of course, turned my face away. Don't let the cops see your face in those situations. That's how you stay deep cover. Anyway, the cops go blazing by, and what they essentially do is they shut down all the roads that get us back to where we're going. Now, I initially just want to walk. I mean, it's miles, but okay, we're fine. We're all healthy, reasonably. Let's start walking. It is miserable weather-wise, though. Absolutely miserable. Wife wants to try to Uber it. don't generally take Uber. It's one of those horrible, soulless companies. We don't have any other way to get anything. The cabs can't get there. But then we get to thinking, well, the Uber can't get there either. All the roads are shut down. So we're shut down, and we have a decision to make. And across the street, there are these dudes lined up. And here's what they have. It's a man. He's on a bicycle, right? In front of him is a little two-seat seat in front of him, like a compartment, with a piece of plastic that goes down in front of it. And I'm sure they were used to catering to partying tourists or something like that. Basically, the back of your seat where your back rests is a gigantic speaker. It's a huge speaker. And so I say to Av, I tell her, hey, I think we got to go take the bikes. And she's looking over at the bikes, and she's looking at these shady-looking dudes, and we're in a foreign country. And she suggests, no, no. And I'm looking around, and I said, baby, do you have some other idea on how we're getting there? You want to start walking? Because it's the bikes or nothing at this point in time. And finally, she knows I'm right. And she said, all right, let's go do it. So I go over there. And we, of course, check on the price. You always want to check on the price. And we hop in these things. And I'm worried about safety because I don't know who these freaking guys are. So I can't just be with her because I have my two boys. My boys are 13 and 15. They're not 2 and 3, and they're big, so that's okay. So I have to send my oldest with her. I feel that's the safest. I send my oldest with her. I send my youngest with me. She gets on her bike. They get on theirs. And the guy's like, hey, 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 American, right? American. He's doing the best he can to speak English, even though I blah a little bit of German. I said, da, or whatever. It was, ja. Anyway, he was like, American. And I was like, yeah, America. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Texas. He said, oh, nice, Texas, Johnny Cash. And as soon as he says Johnny Cash, boom, he hits play on this speaker that we're leaning against as he begins the freezing cold bike ride. we're cruising up the sidewalk. He's got the little bike jingle thing, the jing, 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 the little jingle thing on the thing. He's screaming at all the people on the sidewalk in front of us. He pulls up to the cops who have the roads blocked off, and the cops are clearly yelling at him, what are you doing? He's not backing off. He's screaming back at the cops. We're all sitting there in the bike thing as this dude's yelling at the cops. He wins the argument, apparently, and we take off, and here we are driving across the sidewalk of the bridge, cars lined up, basically yelling at people and shoving people out of the way. This dude is on the bike, two bikes, jing, jing, cruising away, playing Johnny Cash so loud, my hearing still has not recovered. I laughed. It was me and my youngest boy, Luke. Luke and I, and my wife and son were in the other one doing the same thing. We laughed until we cried. My face was cramped up by the time we got back. It was one of the great things ever. All right, sorry. I got sidetracked by that. Don't blame me. It was Michael's fault. He's the one who played Johnny Cash. You want to talk about a cool history thing I did and something that really hit me about it and how it pertains to where we're at now as a country and how you can see these horrible contagions go through. We're actually going to play a little Yuri Bezmenov when we come back, because the Yuri Bezmenov, it's going to lead me directly into this little history thing we did, and I'll tie that all into America today, but you're going to have to hang on for that because I ran out of time. Hang on. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you once again that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Ask me anything, you new listeners. Friday, every Friday is like this. All 3 hours are dedicated to whatever emailed questions you send me. They do not have to be political. It can be food, history, jobs, men, women, dumb. I don't care what it is. Whatever you email into jesse@jessekellyshow.com, email them right now. They're already stacking up. It's going to be an awesome Friday tomorrow. Now let's get back to the actual question, because it's me, European Jesse. The question was, Jesse, what history stuff did you do while you were getting cultured in Europe? Well, listen,
One of the places we went while we were over there was Cologne, Germany. Now, I'm not a historian. I don't remember exactly what Cologne is famous for. But I will tell you this. One of the things they have there, or they had there, was a Gestapo headquarters. You know, the Nazis, their real thuggish enforcers were the Gestapo. And one of the main Gestapo headquarters were in Cologne, Germany. And the Germans have turned that headquarters, the headquarters itself, they turned it into a Gestapo museum. This is going to come back to America today and stuff like that. I want to play a couple things for you before I go into that museum, just because it'll help set up what I'm about to talk about here about America today and whatnot. First, there was a doctor on Rogan's show, Dr. Deborah So, I think you say her name is. She was talking like this.
I watched Yuri Bezmenov. I know you talk a lot about him and the defector. Yeah. And I feel like he must be psychic or something, because what he describes in terms of ideological subversion and how to control basically an entire generation by going through academics and teaching them at a young age how to think, what to think more specifically, and how to then get people to a place where they can't agree on what objective reality is. That's essentially what's happening on university campuses.
That's essentially what's happening on university campuses, is what she says. Okay. Now, in case you're wondering who Yuri Bezmenov is, you're clearly a new listener if you are, and that's fine. We welcome all new listeners. Yuri Bezmenov, he was in the KGB, the Soviet Union's KGB. His job was to destroy other nations, like America. He defected from the Soviet Union, like many communists did. Eventually, you wake up and you realize just how evil you are. He defected. He came over, actually, to Canada. And he gave several lectures and gave several interviews. He has a really long interview. I believe it's still available on YouTube, which I can't believe. It's like an hour and a half long. But about what the Soviets did here and how they did it. And there are a million different cuts of it. This is one of my favorite ones that I play a lot, though. This will tie a lot into America today and the museum I'm about to talk about. Anyway, Michael, play that Yuri cut.
Demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism.
Okay. That's obviously something that has taken place, and this was back in the 80s. So what you see today, as you look around today and you're horrified by just how lost so much of our society is, well, that's because that was another 50 years after what Yuri said. So it's really, really bad today. We're in a really, really bad place. But let's go back to this Gestapo museum. They have it set up in a really, really awesome way. You walk in, and they'll hand you this handset. It looks like a cell phone, essentially. They hand you a handset, and just like a cell phone, you hold it up to your ear. And then you begin at the beginning, kind of, it almost walks you through timeline of the Nazi takeover of Germany and how all this started. I mean, this started, frankly, right after World War I, but really in the 20s when they were getting things kicked off over there. And what they have set up is all these rooms that were the Gestapo headquarters rooms. And they have endless newspaper clippings, Nazi newspaper clippings, pictures of victims, pictures of Nazis, pictures of stuff you've never seen before, stuff you never get in the normal documentaries we all watch. It's incredible, incredible stuff. I will say, before I get into the details of what I'm about to talk about, I'm a museum nerd because I am a huge history nerd. I think we spent 3 or 4 hours in this place. And we rushed towards the end because we ended up losing the boys. Like, the boys were just kind of done. They were done with the whole thing. But that's how incredible this place was. In each room, there are multiple places where they have a number on the wall. So you'll walk in, there'll be 150. And then 151 is a separate part of the wall. And then 152. And what you do is you take that handset that looks like a cell phone, and you just put 150, enter, and hold it up to your ear. and they walk you through what you're looking at in English. It's all in English. Not that speaking European would have been a problem for me, but it would have been a problem for other people in my family, and I didn't want to make them feel bad, so I just asked for the English ones. You know how it is. Anyway.
Buenas tardes.
I asked them for Spanish. They didn't have those, so we stuck with the English ones. But you press a number, and like, for instance, this is one of the ones that it's a very heavy thing, all right? Very heavy thing. Here are a couple of the ones that you can see there. One was a picture of a father. It was his father sitting with his son and with his daughter. And there's a letter. It's a picture of him and his son and his daughter together. And then there's a letter that he had sent to them from one of the death camps, essentially saying, hey, I'm sorry I left in such a rush. Here, I want you to have a great life. I want you to have a great life. Just in case, this is goodbye. It's really, really hard. And then you're learning this as you read it. Then he was put to death. His daughter survived the war. His son survived enough to go join the Royal Air Force, Britain's Royal Air Force, and fight against the Nazis who killed his father. How freaking cool is that? But then his son ended up dying in a plane during the war. So tragic. But that's the kind of thing, you're sitting there looking at the family. You're looking at the letter, and you're hearing their story. It was that kind of moving, incredible stuff. It was really, 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 really good. And there was another one. There were so many parts that stick out, but this is kind of the one I wanted to jump on. On one of the pictures, and there's thousands of pictures in there, it's this huge group photo. And in this huge group photo, there are all these Nazis in full uniform, in Nazi uniform. It's a black and white photo, but they're all gathered up at what is very clearly a party of some kind. It looks like a big family reunion if Grandpa hated Jews. That's kind of what it looks like. And they're all in their Nazi uniforms. And you press your little button, whatever the button was. Beep, 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 beep. That's kind of the sound it made. And you press enter and you listen. What this party was, it was a special party the Nazis had thrown after they'd really finally taken full power in Germany. Only this party was for the Nazis who had joined before a certain date. And don't quote me on this because I think this is wrong. I'm doing a lot of this by memory. I think it was 1928. Now, I said I think that's wrong, but I might be right about that. Either way, there was a date. If you had joined the Nazi party before this date, you were invited to this special OG Nazi party, where the old school Nazis, the real early true believers, they were there. Now, the reason I brought this up is, here in just a second, I'm going to kind of walk through what happened there and how that happened and the parallels for what you see today and why you see a lot of what you see. Because often, don't you have these moments? I have these moments where you look at a person and you look at them becoming a dirty piece of commie trash, and you wonder, how? That's not a commie? He's never been a commie before, but why is Drew Brees a worthless piece of crap now? I will explain in a moment.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Yeah, we're going to dig into that Joe Biden presidential ad. That is, that's not like one I've ever heard before. Man, times are a-changing around here. We'll get into all that, but right now I'm doing somebody asked about a history thing that I saw while I was busy turning European, and I'm talking about the Gestapo Museum we were walking through in Cologne, Germany. There, you're all caught up. I'm kind of tying it into today, because there was something that really, really hit me hard as I was walking through it. Because it walks you through the timeline of the Nazi takeover of everything, chronologically, man, did it hammer home something so much for me. And maybe it'll hammer home something for you. You see, when they first started, Germany was, it had all this upheaval post-World War I. Because the world had very, very stupidly blamed the whole thing on Germany, basically destroyed the country, gave critical parts of their economy over to France. Then they put all these reparation payments. They destroyed the German people, the German country. And a country that was destroyed economically is going to descend quickly. And they did descend quickly. They descended into horrific degeneracy. Did you know this tranny stuff is not new? It was all the rage in Berlin post-World War I. It was all the rage. The country just descended into that kind of madness. The people were miserable, crime. It was just really, really, really bad. The things you're starting to see here in America. Well, whenever you have that kind of a country, you are inevitably going to have powers arise that are going to compete to take it over. Does not matter. Look, people talk about what's a place that always has some kind of upheaval. There's always an African country having a new revolution, right? Always a new rebellion over there. Well, why is that? Well, they don't have rebellions in stable places where everything's going well. You have rebellions where there's corruption, decay, poverty, crime, where things get bad. That's when you eventually have rebellions. Okay, so in Germany, pre-WW2, it was really, really, really bad there for a very proud people who had been decimated. And all kinds of different street groups began to arise and try to take power. Well, the Nazis rise up. And eventually, the Nazis gain a small foothold in their government. I'm going to call it Congress just to make it easier for everyone to understand. Let's call it, and again, the numbers don't matter, but let's say they got 5 seats out of 100 in Congress. Okay, so that's a very, very small party. It was the beginning. And how I want you to think about this, I want you to think about this as America's 1960s. 1950s, 1960s, American communism, the cultural Marxism that has really, really taken root here. You know, America's evil, America's racist, colonizer, chauvinist, all those things. That stuff was around back then. Older people who are listening right now, you remember it. I know you do. But it was kind of on the fringe. It was slowly working its way into the mainstream. Yeah, there's a professor. Yeah, one of the nightly news guys kind of seems like a lefty. Yeah, this one congressman idiot from New York, he's kind of a dork. But other than that, it's not certainly not a big deal, right? There were bigger fish to fry. They just had just gotten in. And that's where the Nazis were initially. And then they kept pushing because they were so aggressive. And there were a lot of reasons the things they were selling were falling on ears that were receptive to those things. For instance, when everyone thinks of Nazis, they think of how much Nazis hate Jews. They think of anti-Semitism, right? Well, the Nazis didn't invent anti-Semitism in Europe. Anti-Semitism had been pervasive throughout Europe for the longest time. So much tension between Jews and Catholics, Jews and Christians. And this was Russia. It was all over the place. The Nazis simply took an existing thing a lot of people felt and turned the volume on up it by obviously quite a bit. So they start in on that. And then they keep going. And then they keep going and they keep going. And soon what they started doing was, it wasn't that they banned all the Jews from town, but if there was a Jewish bakery, you see all this in the museum, there was a Jewish business. Once the Nazis got a decent amount of power, they would simply go put a person in front of that business to go shout at anybody who would come into the business and belittle them and threaten them. Hey, you shouldn't shop here. This is a Jew's place. Didn't you know this belongs to a Jew? So it just started. It didn't start with the death camps. It started with othering these people. You know, hey, just these are the bad guys here. These people here, these are the ones you have to be really, really scared.
There's something dangerous happening in America. There's an extremist movement that does not share the basic beliefs in our democracy. All of us.
Yeah, that's how it started. But how it ended up, how it progressed as the Nazis gained more and more and more power, was that the institutions in society that should have been there to stop the evil things they were doing, the institutions eventually bent the knee to the Nazis, even ones that were not Nazis. Did you know that even though it was considered a Western country, a free country, did you know that the Nazis, the Gestapo, they would get warrants warrants that approved the torture and execution of a gypsy here, Jew there, Catholic here. Did you know that? An official warrant. But how could that happen? Shouldn't there be some kind of a legal system in place to protect that? Well, yes, of course. You see, the judges have kids too. The judges have wives, lives. The cops do too. The judges want to exist in polite society as well. So, do you know what happened next? We'll continue this talk in just a moment. Before we continue this talk, let's do something about you and me. Because there's so many things, so many big things we're going to talk about, and things that I can't control and things you can't control, but you can control you. We can make sure 2024, whatever happens this year, can be a good year for you physically. A male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk is part of making sure, because it's not more big pharma garbage from one of these big commie companies. It's from the hardcore anti-communists at Chalk. You know, do you know that you can take natural herbal supplements, fellas, and get a 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days? Do you have any idea how much energy you will have? How great your mind will work? How much more logical your thinking will be? And you know that all the natural herbal supplements on Chalk, everything, Chad Mode, chocolate powder, everything, everything's on sale. Every single thing is on sale right now with the promo code Jesse. Go to chalk.com, chok.com, promo code Jesse. Start a female vitality stack or a male vitality stack and give it 90 days. Trust me, you won't regret it. We will be back to continue this. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.